So you're saying that there's aliens meeting with our government. Of course, they ran this over the Christmas holiday, so nobody would notice. That's what your theory is.
Adam Curry, John C. Dvorak.
It's December 31st, 2009. Time for your Gitmo Nation Media Assassination, episode 161.
This is No Agenda.
Happy New Year, Gitmo Nation, because you know it's 2010 somewhere. Coming to you live from the Minimum Security Containment Cell Crackpot Command Center in Gitmo Nation West, San Francisco, California, in the morning. I'm Adam Curry.
And I says, 2010, who cares? Northern Silicon Valley, John C. Dvorak.
It's Crackpot and Buzzkill.
In the morning.
You do not disappoint. Thank you.
Here we go.
We need a little bit of buzz killage.
Yeah, you got some killage coming.
Hey, John, in the morning to you.
In the morning, indeed. So I did a show prep last night, and we discussed this a little bit on the pre-show. People out there might want to tune in earlier.
Yeah,
and
that's where all the good stuff happens. We talk about burping and stuff.
So I got up and watched a Good Morning America.
Wow!
Because this is the time of year, and we're going to probably do a couple of episodes of this, which is going to be the end of the year quiz for Adam.
Oh, nice! Wait! Why am I the target here?
Because I have the quiz.
Oh, okay. Well, that makes sense.
Now. All these shows are going to do, and you can only catch one at a time. So I'm sure that the one on NBC on the Today Show would be more interesting because of the political thing. And by the way, I am noticing on CBS a very slight but noticeable anti-Obama ring to everything that,
really? It's starting to creep in, huh?
On CBS, it's been creeping in. I think we brought it up on the show a few times, but it's not solid, but it's in there. But on ABC, which is kind of just kind of pro Obama, but not crazy, you know, because they're going to make tons of money if
they're not like NBC where GE is going to make all this dough,
right? So, but they're still slanted. The news is slanted. So on the Good Morning America show today, Diane Sawyer, who is the person who actually runs that show, from what I can tell, They had an in memoriam,
okay,
and then they had top events, top events from 2009. And I'm going to ask you, see if you can even, the in memoriam of the people who died. And by the way, I didn't catch this right at the beginning, so I assume, because he wasn't mentioned at all, was Michael Jackson. They had a special tribute to him, so you can take him off the list. So
he's not. Michael Jackson is not an answer. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, Michael Jackson is not an answer. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. They named 7 people in memoriam who died in 2009 that they felt were important enough to mention.
Okay.
As opposed to, you know, when you watch the Academy Awards, they list off 50 people.
Okay.
Now, this, of course, is all, real news that we're discussing.
Yeah, I'm not going to play the jingle, but yeah, okay.
Okay, I want you to 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 people. It's okay. Only 7.
7.
I want you to come up with at least 3 that are on the list.
Walter Cronkite.
1. Bing. Yes.
This is hard. Hold on a second.
Start looking it up.
No. I promise I won't. And Michael Jackson is not on the list.
Right.
There were some huge names, because I remember we did this on the show a while ago. We talked about some people who had passed on. I'm sucking.
Expecting you to come up with 2, but you're not getting.
I'm not even getting 2. Can you give me a hint? And I need to get started. Give me something to help me get me rolling here. Please.
Let me think. Alcoholic.
Ted Kennedy. This is funny. This is better. It's word association. Okay, alcoholic. I could have mentioned a lot of people, but Ted Kennedy. Okay, what's the next one? How about Les Paul? Is he on the list? Les Paul should be on the list. Oh, Les Paul should be on the list.
Yep.
David Carradine. Farrah Fawcett.
Ah, you did it.
I got one.
3.
I'm on a roll. I can't believe Les Paul's not on the list.
I think Carradine should be on too.
Yeah, of course. Patrick Swayze, he must be on the list.
Yeah, 4.
Ron Silver.
No.
Roy Disney.
No.
He just died. Roy Disney.
No.
Yes, he did.
He's not on the list.
What kind of list is this?
It's a crap list. It's like, it's a skewed list.
John Hughes?
Nope.
He died?
Yeah.
Wow.
You got something. You got a web browser up.
You're no, I'm looking at the chat room.
Oh, the chat room sheet. Okay, fine. Let the chat room cheat. It's not going to help.
Well, give me another one on the list with a hint. I like this. That's a better way of doing it.
Visually, feminist.
Feminist. Anita Bryant didn't die, did she?
That would, the hint for her would be orange juice.
Right. Who's the feminist?
All right, you're not going to get these anyway.
Well, who was the feminist?
Bea Arthur.
Oh, you should have said Golden Girl.
Oh, that would have been a giveaway.
Yeah, so is that the point?
Why don't you say Bea Arthur?
Why don't you give us the damn list then? This is stupid. If you don't have less...
Kennedy, Ed McMahon...
Oh, shoot. That's right. And he died, like, didn't he die right around Michael Jackson's untimely death? Yeah, that's why he's overshadowed. Yeah.
Bea Arthur, Farrah Fawcett, Patrick Swayze, and the last one on the list, and this is the good one because they don't have Les Paul, they don't have Elizabeth, Natasha Richardson.
You know, you're right.
And now, back to real news.
I can't believe they didn't have all those. I mean, there were some huge names on that list.
And okay,
that,
I got a better quiz for you now.
Okay. Oh, wow. Another quiz.
This is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. The top 10. And I'm going to, first I'm going to list the lesser ones.
By the can I just point something out for a second? I mean, I of course have the hard task of actually taking the quiz. All John had to do is copy what was on Good Morning America. Well,
you don't wrote have to start making excuses for yourself. You did a damn good job on that other list.
Yeah, okay. Well,
thanks to the chat room.
Well, the chat room has such an incredible delay that it took a while before they caught up.
Okay, all here's right.
So
the
what's
one.
This, what's this list now? What's this one?
This is the list of the main events. These are the main distractions.
Oh,
the
main events.
Main things that caught our attention. The Americans were all jacked up about these things.
Oh, yes.
And I'm going to get the top. There's a top 10, and then they after they ran through the top 10, they threw in a bunch of lightweight ones. And
okay, as in almost rans, is that what
it
is?
Yeah, the almost rans included the lightest weight one was the kid throwing the baseball back into the ballpark, so that one's out.
Jesus.
And then also Obama
Balloon Boy is on the list.
Balloon Boy's number one.
Number one? As the, oh my, all right, get me the 9mm.
Let me just get some of these other ones out of the way so you don't have to guess them. And then Obama swatting the fly is another minor one. Okay. So just good. Now I'm leaving the top 10 plus 1, 2, 3 more. Go.
Wait a minute. But Balloon Boy was on the real list or on the lightweight list?
No, he's on the real list, the big list.
Okay. Shoe guy throw at Bush.
Nope. Was that last year? Yeah.
Yeah, that was. That was a good one.
That should have been on the list.
Michael Jackson, of course, could have been on this list as well, but I guess he's not an answer.
No, because I already told you he's off the
list.
He's a special tribute to him.
Hopenhagen?
Nope.
Not on the list. Madoff?
Oh shit. Not on the list.
Wait, I have the opening of the show, that's for sure.
Wow.
Not only do you hold your fork weird. Okay, Obama inauguration, of course, has got to be on the list.
Nope.
Swine flu?
No.
Tiger Woods?
Yes.
Oh, my God. Well, do these people have the memory of a pea? What is that? That's
There's
crazy.
There's one on this list, by the way, that you're just going to... is an eye roller.
Give me the eye roller.
No.
How am I doing so far? I'm doing pretty good.
Your list is better already than their list.
How come we're not producing Good Morning America? We could be making some real money.
And when they went through a big... By the way, when you see the whole list, you're going to go, oh, my God. They brought out the producer and put a camera on her and how great she was.
And they toiled for hours trying to figure out this list because, of course, it was such an exciting year. All right, how about the bailout?
Nope.
How about the stimulus package?
Nope.
How about the cash for clunkers?
No.
How about Letterman stooping his intern?
Yes.
Yeah!
You got three.
This is horrible. I can't believe this. Oprah quitting?
Yes. Ah!
This is what is a news program, or is it entertainment? Is it infotainment?
Good
how
morning,
about Steve? Erica, how about know. Steve Jobs coming back from the dead? Is that on the list?
That should be on
that
there. That's
be on
a good
the list.
One.
Yeah,
we're going to put together our own list, and I'm going to blog it because our list already is better.
It's
than
so
theirs.
Much better. How about Sarah Palin?
Yes, okay. Sarah Palin on Oprah is saying that she might run for president.
Right. Okay.
But that's on the lesser list.
Oh, here's one from the chat room, which is an obvious one. John and Kate.
Absolutely.
All right. Excuse me while I take some cyanide right now. Oh, my goodness. What did I miss? What is on the list that I didn't mention?
Is that it? You give up?
No, I mean, I could go on forever. I mean, how many do I have? Jay Leno leaving.
No, that's not on
that's
there.
That's a good one for the list.
Yeah, it is.
Octomom.
Yes, absolutely. I don't know why this is so funny.
Anyone who watches Good Morning America, yourself excluded for this one time, John, you should be shot. I mean, it's very simple. It's like, get rid of yous all. You have listen to the list that we actually have. And the things
one,
that,
two, three, four, five left. No, oh, six, including the one of the interesting ones.
So actually, I've only gotten four. Here's one from the chat room, Susan Boyle.
Absolutely.
You could. It's like, how many stupid things can you come up with, and they're on the list. And this is the distraction.
What the American public is fed.
This is the distraction that distractions that kept us busy. Oh my goodness. In the chat room, someone just said, Zick just said, Adam, you have to wait in line or take a number to kill yourself. We're already a bit overbooked today. All right, here's a good one. The Hadron Collider?
No, but that should be on our list.
Yeah, for sure. Oh, listen to all this stuff that is
our
deemed
list
important.
Is fantastic already.
Is global warming on there at all? I know I said no. Copenhagen. Global no. warming's not on there?
No.
How about Conan O'Brien sucking ass?
No.
No, okay. Well, I give up.
Okay, here's the last few.
Okay.
Chris Brown beating up Rihanna.
Rihanna. Wait. Adam Lambert kisses guy?
No, I was surprised by that, because that's on some other lists.
Yeah, okay.
Governor right. Sanford taking the walk on the Appalachian Trail.
Actually, someone mentioned that in the chat room. That would have been a good one. Yeah, okay.
Yeah. I think we should use that as our taking a walk on the Appalachian Trail, if you know what I mean.
Hey, wink, wink, nudge, nudge, say no more, baby.
Ooh,
I've got one. I've got one. I've got one.
Party.
I've got one. Captain Sully Sullenberger.
You're kidding. That's not on there either.
Do you mean landing in the Hudson is not on the list?
No.
Let me see. Is that quite an event in aviation history? You'd think so. Wow.
Okay. I told you the Salahis crashing Obama. Now we got two to go.
Crotch bomber?
No.
Well, it's happened this year.
Yeah, I know, but they'll probably push it off to next year. No, two crotch bomber's not on there
two
either.
Two more to go. No, I don't know, man.
Okay. I'm going to do the Chris Allen winning American Idol. It's a major cultural event.
That's
and
horrible.
Last but not least,
yes,
the episode with Kanye West and Taylor Swift.
Oh, you mean the MTV Video Music Awards?
Yeah, where he comes out and says something, and Taylor Swift gets all this publicity. How could Taylor Swift not be on the list?
Yeah, how stupid of me. Ugh.
So there is our cultural breakdown
I just threw up in my mouth. I'm sorry. Okay. Hey, John, who are our executive producers for this fine program, the last one of 2009, and for many, the first one of 2010?
Yes, indeed. All right. Now, this PayPal account's not in my wife's name. Our number one executive producer with a $300 donation, and he is the executive producer. And you're going to have to pronounce his name.
Oh, Dutchman?
But he lives in Edinburgh.
Edinburgh. Yeah.
Well, it's Edinburgh.
Edinburgh.
He lives in Edinburgh, and his name is spelled J-A-A-P.
J Yop. Yeah.
Yop.
Uh huh.
And BUITENDIJK.
BUITEN what?
DIJK.
DIJ. Buitendijk. Yop. Buitendijk.
Yop Buitendijk.
Yeah.
Our executive producer.
That's a ringtone for him right there.
Yop Buitendijk. Hey.
Hey, Yop, baby. Hey, awesome. And he's from Edinburgh. And any special message or just proud to be an executive producer?
Just says thanks for a great show.
Oh, that's awesome.
And then we
Yop,
have two associated executive producers, Ian Monroe from Thibodeau, Louisiana, who contributed 200, and Samuel. Our old buddy Samuel Vanderplank in Brussels with 223. And he wants people to go to www.thesurvivalpodcast.com.
Oh, cool. Is Ion, is that the same as Ian?
Yeah, Ian.
Okay, because you said Ion.
I said Ion?
Yeah.
Oh, I meant to say Ian.
Yeah, Ian Monroe.
Ian Monroe, M-U-N.
Ian Monroe, Samuel Vanderplank. And of course, our executive producer, Yop Buitendijk, thank you all so very much for your contributions to this program. And of course, you know by now that this is a valid credit. You can put it on your CV, on your resume, and it will get you gigs, and it could get you laid.
Probably not, but it could.
All you got to say is, hey, I was the executive producer.
Hey, I'm a producer, lady.
If only I could find an unknown, it would be perfect. Yeah, hey, yeah, hey, you, yeah. I can do something for yous. A little special mention to, now, of course, I've forgotten his name. Hold on a second. We had one of our listeners call up a program and mention the name of this show.
Oh, good. We need more of that.
Yeah.
I've been posting on various blogs, so I went to the TSA.
Well, hold on. I have some audio for a second.
Oh, okay.
You want to just hear for a second? So this is Mark McLenna. He's from Watertown, Connecticut, and he called up the morning show, Jim Vicevich. Is that it? Vicevich. So this is WTIC-AM in, I guess it's Hartford. And they're the biggest station around. And he recorded it on his phone, so you can barely hear the host of the show. But I just thought it would be kind of cool to hear how he slipped it in. And the guy just loved it. He just kept on going. He didn't even, didn't cut him off or anything.
Cool.
Well, we're still looking into it. And yet, then we have Robert Gibson comes on and says, this is a pretty dangerous job.
They just can't seem to get on the same page. You know, if you listen to noagendashow.com, they have some amazing discussion that is actually makes common sense about these issues.
Yeah, we talk about Taylor Swift being the most notable event of the year.
Taylor Swift.
That's our show, buddy. Awesome. Thank you so much. Hey, you know what? Can I just make an observation, John? Never, ever, ever, ever buy 9-volt batteries from Walmart. Or Walgreens, I should say. I just put in fresh batteries, and already they're like winding down. I think I might have to send executive producer Mickey out to get me some because I'm afraid these are gonna fucking die. If you have them in the cold, does that decrease their efficiency?
I don't know. I think they're just getting junk from China.
Hold on a second.
Buy a copper top.
Yeah, but I mean, I literally put them in before the show, and now I can see that they're already running low. This is going to be a problem.
Yeah, it sounds like it.
Oh, crap. Maybe she can run out and get me some 9 volts. Oh, I hate this. I can't believe it.
Don't buy cheap crap.
Well, I thought I was buying Duracell, which would be your copper tops. They look exactly the same. They cost about the same. And then I had this up in Yosemite. I actually switched batteries during the show, which you didn't hear because I did that so craftfully.
That was well done. Yeah. So I noticed that yesterday they're finally coming out with the details. You know, there's this story about the crotch bomber. By the way,
you don't say.
The crotch bomber, of course, you know, is wearing all this bomb stuff in his scrotum, which, you know, in other words, those millivolt filters wouldn't have done any good.
No.
There's a bunch of interesting discrepancies cropping up. By the way, just in the last day or so, they finally mentioned on the mainstream media that they've been, you know, attacking Yemen.
Yeah, Yemen, but nothing about Nigeria.
Right.
Nothing.
And, No, well, they're not going to attack
Did
Nigeria.
You see? Did you see by any chance? Because I recorded it. Did you see Meet the Press with Janet Napolitano?
No.
Oh my God!
I saw the clips though. Where she's like,
yeah, but she's wearing this brown leather jacket, and you know, it's like, could you please look more like a bull dyke? You know, it just makes us feel that much more secure. It was unbelievable. I'm like, what? And then she's sitting there lying her ass off from San Francisco. She live in San Francisco?
Not that I know of.
Yeah, hold on a second. Oh, baby.
She's been hanging out in San Francisco for good reasons, now that you mention it.
Yeah, hold on a second, John. I need these.
So while he's fooling around, I'm going to mention a couple of things. They finally brought out the fact that this Nigerian crotch bomber had a passport, and that story about him getting on the plane without a passport was bogus. Yep. And curiously, after we did the show on Sunday, I found a Ghana newspaper that described not
on
only
a park bench. Did you find it on a park bench? Number.
They had the seat that he was in, and they had his complete routing. And this was available to the media on Sunday, last Sunday. And now only now are they kind of breaking back on some of the bogus reporting that they've been doing about him somehow getting on a plane with a one-way ticket. He had a round trip, by the way.
He had a round trip. It was an e-ticket. And there's, you know, there's this eyewitness who's been doing the rounds, although, you know, I haven't seen him on mainstream media anywhere, who was sitting there playing cards with his wife while he saw this guy checking in. Some other dude who was like an Indian, apparently almost like an Indian businessman type guy, walks up, helps this guy check in, and then, you know, then there's all this, like, he didn't have a passport, you know, this is the way we do it in Nigeria, you know, so this guy, of course, is being called his CIA handler.
It's all bogus information.
And that must be disinformation, I agree. That felt like it to me as well. But I did read, and this is really nice, because, of course, I speak it in Dutch. And so there's the Dutch, of course, have all of their internal governmental documents online. And so there were all these questions about what happened. So according to the Dutch Ministry of, I guess it's the, of Justice, actually, is responsible for this. They actually, and I marked this up on a PDF file. Now, of course, it won't do you much good if you don't read any Dutch. sorry about that. And maybe someone will take the time to translate it. It's about 7 pages. But incredibly interesting, because, of course, they're saying, well, you know what? The American authorities allowed him to board the airplane. I'm like, huh? How do they know that were the American authorities there? Well, there's a system. So, of course, we know that there's the, the fly, don't fly list and all of that stuff. But there's a system. I'm looking it up right here. So, first of all, you have the PNR, the passenger name record. Now, I'm pulling this directly from the Dutch government documents. So the guy, you know, so that's pre-approved, no problem. Then you have the advanced passenger information, known as the API. This includes information from a machine-readable zone on a passport. That was also okayed. But then there's this new thing, AQQ, that I hadn't heard of, the APIS quick query. And the way this works is, when you, when you hand your boarding card and they either scan it through a machine or they zap it with a barcode reader, at that point, it actually checks with the U.S. official's database to see if you're on any list before you board the plane. I didn't know this. That's why it's not just like an administrative thing. It's actually a real-time interactive check, and it came back okay. So the Dutch authorities were like, this guy can board, no problem.
Now, there's another story that cropped up in the media, in the European or the African media. By the way, the African media covered this very well because they're very concerned about this. And so I got most of the good stories from out of Africa. And they said that Schiphol has millimeter wave machine, or they have 15 of them, as a matter of fact.
Schiphol, you mean Schiphol? What Schiphol. The hell are you talking about? Schiphol. Yes, Schiphol. I've been through the millimeter wave.
Pronounce it correctly.
I have been through the millimeter wave detector at Schiphol, and let me just point out one interesting thing. They are now, so there's pictures everywhere of their system set up, and now that They've decided that they're going to put these machines into service, which, by the way, they weren't allowed to do. The U.S. officials, TSA, did not deem the millimeter wave systems appropriate for flights going to the United States. That's why they weren't used.
The drugs could come in.
Of course. So now, of course, the Guusje van der Horst had a call with Janet over there in San Francisco. Boy, those two belong together. You should see our Dutch minister of whatever she's responsible for. Yeah, they should be clam bumping. Please put the millimeter wave systems in place. But of course, because of privacy concerns, because it basically takes a picture of you naked, now they have some bogus, you have to see the pictures, it's laughable. They have some bogus computer interpretation, which then shows basically a stick figure with a big orange dot where there's something suspicious. So they've come up with this story, like they've all of a sudden implemented this privacy device where instead of actually seeing the knife, or the gun, or the drugs, or whatever, this little orange dot that would be suspicious. And so then, of course, they have to be, you know, hand-searched anyway.
So, well, you know, the question you have to ask yourself is that this powder, PETN, for one thing, this guy had it sewn into his underwear. And by the way, another thing that was interesting, they had the pictures of the underwear online. We actually, one of our bloggers put it up.
Yeah.
Where's all the burn marks that it's supposed to be? You know, where's all the burn? The underwear should have been burnt to a crisp, it seems to me, if this guy was on fire, right?
You think?
But there was no burn marks at all. But then when we hear the stories, and let's play a couple of clips, the more discrepant things. First, I want to play the WTF clip, because this was suppressed by the media. This came out in one interview with one of the passengers, and I thought the whole thing was weird. And then the person that was – this was on CNN. The person that was doing the interviewing just kind of glossed it over and said, well, you know, everybody – and she went off the subject and onto something else. But just listen to this WTF clip.
People, you also saw something strange happen when the fire started and everyone raced for him. What was it that you observed?
Well, as this was all going on, I just happened to look over, and about 10 seats ahead of me was, to the left-hand side, was a man who had a camcorder, and he was filming the entire thing. So it was definitely a little out of the ordinary. I mean, I don't know why. He was standing.
He was wearing a No Agenda t-shirt and wanted to make sure he got everything on record.
Enough, and we were supposed to be seated, and he was filming it, so.
We ought to just tell everybody that Gene Meserve has reported tonight that the FBI says it has analyzed a number of videotapes that were shot by passengers on that flight, and none has proven particularly useful to the investigation. Nonetheless, there is a lot of commotion and someone is filming it, although in this day and age, I suppose we probably shouldn't be too surprised since everything shows up somewhere eventually. So let me ask you...
Well, where is it then?
Good question.
Where is it? It's probably in the same vault as the Pentagon security video when the airplane flew into it. That's
right where they're keeping that.
Yeah.
So meanwhile, in the same show, they did have the guy, the hero, and
this
he
is the
also
Dutch guy, the Dutch hero.
Yeah, the Dutch guy.
Uh-huh.
And so you can play hero, which is the clip. And if you listen to this guy, then you have another version of the story, because apparently the guy there was just various things. He's shooting his stuff into his pants. He's got a pillow. He's this, he's that. You know, now you can't put a pillow on your lap. But it sounds to me as though the guy wasn't hiding anything. If you listen to this guy, the guy was holding whatever this device was, and the Dutch guy was wrestling him for it. It wasn't hidden or in his, in his underwear or anything that we've been hearing. But listen to his account.
And when you got to the suspect, what was he doing? Did he say anything? Did he do anything?
He was still sitting, and he was getting on fire, and he was still holding the device, the bomb, right now, and he was still holding it in his hands, and I had to rip the bomb out.
Now hold on a second. First of all, she asks a question which I've never heard a journalist ask. She says, when you saw the suspect, that's really weird. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then he said he was holding the device, the bomb, in his hands.
Yeah. And by the way, how does this jive with his burnt legs?
Let's go.
Out of his hands. And I remember him looking at me, staring at me. And he was just being afraid. And yeah, it was just a very weird situation.
So he seemed afraid as you were going after.
Yeah, he seemed afraid, and he was not easily letting go of the bomb. No.
Well, of course not. It was sewn into his crotch. I think this, particularly since this guy was heralded as a big, I think we might need to look into him. I hate to say it. But
he's a filmmaker, and maybe he's a filmmaker, and there was a guy filming this out of the ordinary, standing up when everyone was supposed to be seated, and making a video from a distance. This whole thing is fishy.
Yeah, it's weird.
You close your eyes at night and revisit that moment.
The human interest angle of the story.
Not yet.
Not yet. So you've been pretty peaceful since then.
I've been peaceful so far, so I hope I will keep it like that.
Yeah.
So anyway, well, we don't know any of this. We don't know any. The problem is every piece of information we receive is different, and it's getting a little annoying, this whole story.
Well,
and
the
then,
same,
of course, the bombing the Yemenis, and supposedly we're over there for one reason or another, and there's all this action going on. It's been going on for a couple of weeks. And here's another one. The story like came out like a couple of days ago that guy that's the imam that talked to the Fort Hood guy. And by the way, there's a story floating around that Fort Hood guy's kind of disappeared.
Oh, really?
And there's one of Lieberman's intelligence agencies has been trying to get some information about him, and
they won't talk to him.
30 days, and they can't find what the heck's going on with this guy. Okay, so this imam supposedly was taken out in some raid a couple of weeks ago and killed, and this shows up in the media. Well, he's dead, we had to kill him. And meanwhile, then he shows up in Memory, which is a Middle Eastern research organization that does that translates things for intelligence purposes. He was just interviewed like 2-3 days ago, and the interview showed up on the internet, and so they had to change the story real quick.
We
just thought he was dead. We never were sure he was dead. We thought he might have been dead. And so this guy, this imam character, is part of this, and he's the one that says it was the guy with the crotch bomber was a hero, and he went on and on about what a great guy he was for trying to kill everybody, which is sketchy. So this whole thing is just getting weirder, and it's very disorganized. And then, of course, we have, where's the CIA actually fit into the scheme of things? Okay. Play Obama attacks.
Hold on a second. I love you. Mickey just went out and bought me 10 9-volt batteries. I'll play, what is it? Which one is it?
Obama attacks the CIA.
I'm gonna switch batteries while that's playing. Here
and
comes.
By the way, he doesn't really. I mean, he beats around the bush about who he's attacking, but it's pretty clear.
Well, I have a theory that this will probably lead right into. So here we go.
It's been widely reported that the father of the suspect in the Christmas incident warned U.S. officials in Africa about his son's extremist views. It now appears that weeks ago, this information was passed to a component of our intelligence community, but was not effectively distributed so as to get the suspect's name on a no-fly list. There appears to be other deficiencies as well.
Okay.
Can you make one thing?
You make a point while I switch.
I'm going to make a point. Now, okay, the guy's name was not, he was, his dad thinks he turned into a radical Muslim, and his dad was bitching to the U.S. government about this, and they didn't put his name on an old fly list. If they put everybody's name who was bitching about, that was a radical Islamist that was complaining about the USA in one form or another, if they put all those people on the list would be a million miles, it'd be millions of people, because there's half the people in the Middle East feel the same way. It was alarmist.
Okay.
And I think that to single out this one situation as some sort of a flaw in the system, although it might have been, if it's a fact that they actually picked up this guy's name and threw it into that new hyper agency that sits between the CIA and everybody
now,
else.
Let me take over right here, because this is exactly what's going on. John, you are absolutely right. We have discussed a couple of times on this program that ever since the Obama administration put in this middle layer in between, actually above the CIA, the FBI, TSA, everybody, where there used to be direct reports, the CIA and the president was a very special relationship. So that's this layer has been put in the middle. The CIA has been incredibly pissed. In fact, I call it the CIA war. And there's all kinds of stuff going on that is, you know, we have so-called earthquakes. These are, of course, cruise missiles that are aimed at CIA headquarters. But what's really happening, and remember, the CIA still has a huge allegiance to the Bush-Clinton cabal in Yemen, and this is all very coincidental. In Yemen, the LNG, Yemen LNG, you can look this up, the Liquid Natural Gas Corporation, which is it's a who's who of companies who are involved in this. Including KBR, Kellogg Brown Root, of course, BNP,
which I believe is a division of Halliburton.
Halliburton,
now.
Yes. Citigroup, ING Group, Royal Bank of Scotland, Societe Generale, all companies, all banks who were bailed out, by the way. JP Morgan, of course, is in there. They actually had contracts due for completion in August of 2009 for this huge liquid natural gas. Either a refinery or this whole company, this whole conglomerate. And you've probably seen the advertisements here and there on mainstream television where people are talking about switching to natural gas. And this was all set up by Bush Sr. initially. So the CIA, who of course have allegiance, you know, they see that all this crap is going on in Yemen. There's all kinds of skirmishes. Things are happening. The contracts can't get done on time. So they've got to take some action because they're taking orders from Papa Bush directly. They go around Obama. This is why Obama is saying, oh, systemic failure. They didn't tell him. In fact, they do it while he's on vacation. They go in there. They say, all right, get this guy. Let's get this. We got to have a reason to go do some nasty shit in Yemen. We need some cover. Boom. They go in there, and all of this starts to take place. And if you look at the show notes at noagendashow.com, you can see some amazing coincidental connections.
Coincidences.
Including Robert LaPenta, former CFO and president of Homeland Security Solutions provider L3 Communications. Now, this is the company that will benefit from the millimeter wave devices, but he also has ties to companies that provide rendition flights for the CIA. And this is really interesting. So these are all private Gulfstreams. They land at Oakland Airport as well on the northern terminal from time to time. And you can believe what you want about, you know, if they're actually carrying people to jails overseas. I believe that those planes are mainly packed, filled with drugs, and they're distributing them throughout the world. But one of these planes from Hunt Oil broke through the perimeter, the no-fly zone in Hawaii, where the president was vacationing. His security detail rushed him off the golf course under some guise of, oh, yeah, you know, one of the family friends needed something that might have been an ambulance thing. Of course, they threw him into some bunker somewhere because this is an all-out war between the CIA and the Obama administration. And coincidence, I think not. 8 CIA agents killed in Afghanistan bomb attack. 8. And from one of my deep throat sources, who I know, in fact, he's been to Base Chapman, operating Base Chapman, and where these 8 CIA agents were killed. He says it's incredibly difficult to get entrance into it.
Right, and it was supposed to be a suicide bomber. I didn't know it was CIA guys, but it could be. But it was a suicide bomber, supposedly. It somehow got into the compound and blew up a lunchroom or something, and only civilians were killed somehow in a military zone.
Yeah, but according to my source, and I know this guy I know personally, and he doesn't want me to mention his name. He said, literally, he's saying, the agents that were killed at FOB, Forward Operating Base Chapman, are in a separate part of the FOB extremely difficult to get entrance there. I've been there numerous times. This is a, quote, huge setback for the CIA because they killed an entire team. This is all an all-out war. And yeah. I think it's huge. And this, and they are threatening the president. I'm a firm believer in this now.
No, we brought this up when the Salahis got, you know, first you have one little breach after another, and it's just to show the president how close they can get to him if they want to.
Yeah.
I mean, that's our theory, by the way, for people out there who are listening to the show. We don't know any of this to be a fact, except...
Well, you know, we do have a formula, and we do adhere to it.
Our formula is this. We go out, we hit people in the mouth.
Virtually speaking, of course. Virtually speaking.
Virtually.
Yeah. No, so I'm convinced that this is, once again, it's over big business. And it is, and it's, well, liquid natural gas. And of course, there's also oil that's been discovered in Yemen.
I think they found some new. I still believe that over the next year or two, there's going to be an announcement of a huge hyperfield just around outside of Yemen that'll belong to them technically.
Now, if I look at Yemen, John, isn't that like near Somalia?
Well, actually, Somalia is over to the in Africa, and the Yemen is at the bottom of the Saudi Peninsula.
Yeah, but look at it on the globe. Isn't it the same water where the pirates operate?
Yeah, no, it's the same water. Yeah, there's a lot of Sudanese, and there's a lot of action going. That, and then there is
coincidence? I think not.
This whole thing needs to be, we need to get some real journalist that knows that, you know, he can't print any of this stuff in a newspaper, but it's fine in a book because, you know, how many people read books anymore?
Yeah.
I think this will be explored quite interestingly by somebody who really has the time to do it.
Well, yeah, it'll take 25 years before the files are officially open and we'll all go, oh, yeah, you're going to be like, oh, brother. You'll be really old by then. and be like, I knew it. Oh, brother. But on the other hand, just to keep it light, for those of you who have always said, I think these checkpoints and security and the way it's going is fine because I have nothing to hide. When you say I have nothing to hide, okay, when they're going to be groping your crotch because that has now been approved at Schiphol Airport, crotch grabbing will be a part of the process to make sure you got nothing there. When you're being when pictures are being taken of you essentially naked, your biometric profile, when you feel violated, just remember you have nothing to hide. If you have nothing to hide, what's the problem? Take off your clothes, submit to a rectal examination. You have nothing to hide, and that is exactly what you deserve to get. Bend over. You're all going to get it now because you had nothing to hide. Oh, I don't care about it. Oh, it's good. We'll stop terrorists. This is ridiculous. Do you now see the ridiculousness of this fake security? It's fake. It's fake. It's just,
it's called security theater.
Yes. Wasn't there a CNN article somewhere? I know it's in the show notes about exactly that, about security theater, that it's really just to make you feel safe, and it's, you know, to kind of make, you know, some people, I mean, now it's like, you know, you hear everyone talking like, oh, you know, we never imagined that they would use airplanes as bombs, and now we never imagined we would put some explosives in his crotch. We never imagined this. We need more imagination.
Well, somebody pointed out on one of the other shows, what's to prevent people from having this PTN carried
in,
like
your butt, in your butt,
yeah, like drugs
in a, you know, cigar,
you put it
tube
in a prophylactic, yeah, and
swallow
and
it,
pull it out in the bathroom,
yeah, poop it out
and then light it in there.
Now I saw a BBC demonstration of some PETN, and the stuff is definitely pretty explosive, but I think no matter what, I mean, no, there is no substance that I know of that produces an explosion unless it's enclosed where the reaction takes place. Am I mistaken on this, John?
There are, well, yeah, you are, because okay, nitroglycerin will just blow up without being enclosed, and so will trinitro,
funny burning nitro cars.
There's different things, yeah. Nitroglycerin, if you're manufacturing it improperly,
but that's really unstable, and you can't carry that around.
No, That's okay. True.
But this PETN, I mean, so, you know, you see the BBC news report. It's like, you gotta, first of all, you got to think, all right, BBC, you know, Ministry of Truth speaking. But the guy had a little, like, it looked like a plastic container, which he lit. And it produced quite an explosion. Does PETN do that without being in an enclosure? Can it really?
I don't know. I've never even heard of this stuff before this incident. And I didn't. And by the way, if you remember the shoe bomber, they never discussed this stuff then either. I mean, this is all of a sudden. This is a new. I mean, this always bugs me. You know, all of a sudden there's some substance that's now in vogue to discuss as some sort of a danger. Do you remember the shoe bomber incident? Were they ever talking about PETN?
No, never.
I'd like to go back and look at the stories and see if it was ever mentioned. I didn't even think about it at the time. I all knew this guy was an idiot.
So just to get back on track there. So President Obama called it a systemic failure, which is code for we're going to overhaul your ass. Oh, yeah, you think you can get away with this under my watch? I'm gonna screw with you guys now. Systemic failure. I mean, that's like the banks, right?
Yeah.
So, I believe that we're really into some really, really, really nasty stuff that is happening. In fact, there was this great video by a congresswoman. Let me see if I can find it. She did a YouTube video, which just freaked me out. She actually said there are radicals in our government, and this is not just about. Let me just see if I can find this. It would be a YouTube video.
Well, while you're looking for that, play the CNN piece that discusses the CIA's involvement in some of this. It's a little long-winded. You just play it until you feel like it's boring. And you can stop.
The why, along with what's next, including the possibility of new airstrikes on Yemen. But first, we want to get to Gene Meserve, who has the what. The repeated attempts by the alleged Christmas bomber's father to alert American authorities about his son. Hi, Gene.
Hi. According to sources who are familiar with the family's discussions with the U.S., the father met face-to-face with embassy officials on at least two occasions. There also were several telephone calls and also written communications. We are told by a well-placed source that the CIA was...
This pisses me off. It's not even 30 seconds, and already she's mentioned two unknown sources. It's like, this is not news reporting. This is reading whatever the CIA or whatever organization is putting in front of these people. All right? Just, you got to listen to the words.
Yeah, and how do we know all these details about what's going on in Nigeria all of a sudden?
Gee, well, because unnamed sources have told us, of course.
Yeah. Some of those communications, and that the CIA prepared a report on what the father said about his concerns about his son's radicalization and possible trips to Yemen. That report, we are told, was sent to CIA headquarters in Langley, Virginia, but it was not disseminated to the wider intelligence community. And according to our source, if it had been, it might have been pieced together with other pieces of intelligence which had been gathered by the U.S., and perhaps they would have gained a full picture and been able to...
Why do they always call it a community?
And the other thing is, it's like some 23-year-old punk. How much surveillance are we doing on this kid? None. This
of course
is bogus.
Not. Of course not.
To thwart this attack.
What about the CIA, though? Are they actually confirming the existence of that report?
The CIA is pushing back pretty heavily here. The statement for the spokesman, rather, for the CIA put out a statement this evening which said, in part, we didn't have his name before then, before the meeting with the father. Also in November, we worked with the embassy to ensure he was in the government's terror database, including mention of his possible extremist connections in Yemen. We also forwarded key biographical information about him to the National Counterterrorism Center. But the CIA is not saying if they forwarded all of the information they had to the NCTC. That's the entity that was set up after 9/11. The purpose was for it to connect all the intelligence dots collected across the U.S. government.
And frankly, that brings us straight to the next question, which I think a lot of people are wondering.
Which is exactly the organization that isn't working.
Right.
Which is the one that was put in between the president, the administration, and everybody else. So these dots connecting is stupid.
Tonight, 8 years later, after 9/11, there's not only that agency which has been set up, but billions of taxpayer dollars spent to overhaul this country's security, the communication between different agencies. This isn't happening, clearly.
Well, clearly it didn't happen in this instance, and one can only guess that it might be reflective of a larger problem. That is why the administration has said, the president said very specifically today, I am ordering a government-wide review of what we're doing here in terms of integrating this information, collecting this information. I want to know what we knew, when we knew it, and who it was shared with.
Okay, so here's Sue Myrick. And I believe she's a congresswoman.
The attempted terrorist attack.
Yeah, Congresswoman Sue Myrick. She's the founder of the House Anti-Terrorism Caucus and member of the House Intelligence Committee. I'd not heard of her before, but that seems like some pretty serious, like she's a serious dudette. Now, let's just listen to what she has to say about this.
The attempted terrorist attack over Christmas was an incident, fortunately, that did not work. His device did not explode. Or we could have seen a totally different scenario. Most of us sat and listened to television, and they talked about all the reasons why, you know, he should not have been allowed to fly and so forth. Well, I agree with that. There were a lot of mistakes made by the governments of other countries as well as our own. But this is the issue. You're not being told the whole story of why these incidents are happening.
Nice.
There is a radicalization going on in this country and across the world that has a great effect on our national security. There are people who literally are willing to blow themselves up like this guy did to commit jihad because they believe...
She kind of goes off the rails here, but just listen to when she talks about the government.
Even a bigger cause, and that cause is what they want to do to us. They want to destroy Western democracies. They want to bring down America. They want us to live by their rules. This is something that nobody ever tells you. You don't hear about. Sure, there are people on television periodically who are experts, do a good job, the Steve Emersons and the Waleed Ferrises of the world, but that is not the whole story. The reason I say that this is just the tip of the iceberg, it's not just the incidents of people who want to commit jihad, it's what's going on elsewhere as well. There's a lot of radicalization on the internet today. There is radicalization in the mosques. There are people who have been indoctrinated into the same line of thinking that are now in positions in our government.
There you go. Radicals in our government.
All of this is tied together. And we want to bring this to you over a period of time so you can be educated. There's a series
of... And then she has a whole bunch of books you should read. But I thought that's interesting, considering her position to say that there's radical elements inside our very own government is...
It would make sense.
Yeah, but that's she is the founder of the Anti-Terrorism Caucus and a member of the House Intelligence Committee. I've never heard of her.
No, you will.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Okay, I got another piece of... still on the topic. I have one more clip, which is kind of interesting because, CNN is obviously getting talking points from somebody. And this one I thought was peculiar because it gave away, and it's only a little bit, I don't think you have the whole clip, just the part that's interesting to me, which is which was kind of slipped in by Erica Hill, who's doing this reporting, who she was the anchor of this thing, and who used to be over here at Tech TV, as a matter of fact. Play Gitmo Yemen.
Digging deeper now, Peter Bergen is back with us, along with Kirk Lippold, former commander of the USS Cole, and an outspoken opponent of releasing Guantanamo Bay inmates begun during the Bush administration, some of whom reportedly worked with the alleged bomber in Yemen. Gentlemen, good to have both of you with us. Peter, as you look at the...
Did you hear that?
No, I got to listen to it again.
She said, well, let me tell you what to look for. She said that this guy, the Cole guy, the guy was the commander of the USS Cole. Remember that?
Yeah, that was blown, a big hole in it.
This commander who's now anti this and anti that, he's the guy, hey, let that rubber raft. Yeah, it's okay. They're
yeah,
okay.
Come on, bring him up against the boat.
So that guy, he's against, releasing these Gitmo guys. And then the way she phrases it, she says that these people in Gitmo somehow have worked with the suicide bomber in Yemen, but that's not possible considering the guy's age and the timeline. So why did she even throw that in? I mean, who wrote this script?
Let me
play it again.
Yeah.
Digging deeper now, Peter Bergen is back with us, along with Kirk Lippold, former commander of the USS Cole, and an outspoken opponent of releasing Guantanamo Bay inmates begun during the Bush administration, some of whom reportedly worked with the alleged bomber in Yemen. Gentlemen, good to have both of you with us. Peter, as you look at the...
Okay, so I think I understand why. So obviously, you know, as of tomorrow, one of the president's big promises to close Guantanamo Bay will have been broken. He's already announced that that's not going to happen. And we need Gitmo for a number of reasons. I would say the number one reason is for renditions, because we have to have this illusion that we're flying, you know, even though it's illegal and even though it's not supposed to be happening, everybody agrees that there are rendition flights taking place from Guantanamo Bay to secret enhanced interrogation facilities all over the world, right? But that's not really what these rendition flights are about. These are the huge private aircraft that are flying the drugs out of Afghanistan to distribution points all over the world. So they need to keep Gitmo open. Gitmo cannot close, or they have to find some other ruse that can still make these illegal rendition flights viable. And that's
why Gitmo itself is a red herring.
Yes, it is. It is just so that we know that something fishy is going on there. In fact, we should probably
don't look over here.
Nothing to see here.
Ooh, look at that.
And I've got some links in the show notes to back up my assertions about these drug flights under the guise of rendition flights. And look for aircraft. You can go to Google. Google is great with tail numbers, and just start Googling Hunt Oil, HUNT. Hunt Oil, and start Googling for their aircraft and where they're flying. And you'll be amazed. In some cases, even on like skytracker.com, Skytracker will say, it is not possible to track this aircraft's flight.
Because they're black.
Yeah, they're CIA planes, and they're flying the drugs around. It's not people. No one gives a shit about people. And by the same token, of course, all of this had to take place at the very end of the year, because we all woke up and went, oh, shit, we've been doing this healthcare scam and this swine flu scam. And, oh, man, we got to extend the Patriot Act. We need some reason for extending the Patriot Act. We need a reason for that.
Well, the other thing, of course, is the airlines. They need to be, I think they're just, are they trying to just shut down the airline business? And are the airlines part of it? They want to go bankrupt? I mean,
it's a reverse bailout, John. It's very simple. Here's what's going to happen next. You'll have no stewardesses. Stewardesses are expensive. We don't want to have actual flight crews. No, we're going to have air marshals. Air marshals will be on board. They'll tell you to shut up, sit down, don't put anything on your lap. You just sit in your seat, you slave, don't go anywhere. So there's hundreds of thousands of stewardesses and stewards, or aircraft cabin personnel.
Flight attendants
will be replaced by air marshals, federally funded air marshals. There's going to be no more food, no more drinks. No, you know what? If you're thirsty, just suck on some wood. All right?
They've been moving to the no food thing for quite a while.
Yeah. So
now they have a real excuse.
Because most airlines are, by definition, bankrupt. They are by definition bankrupt. They're always in Chapter 11. They're always struggling to get out. There's no money being made. There is no money to be made in aviation, because you're essentially burning money in the air. The only time when it worked was in the early days of aviation, when the airplanes carried the mail and the passengers basically sat on top of the mail sacks. It was like a bonus. And then, you know, now the mail and the FedEx and UPS and everyone, they got their own planes. And by the way, they're running pretty profitable, because mail don't need to eat, pee, or blow up the plane. It's very simple. Don't need no flight attendants. That's still a very profitable business. So that's what's, it's a reverse bailout of the airline industry. And that's why they're all loving it, because the last thing they want is to have to, you know, these unions for flight attendants are very difficult. Very difficult to negotiate.
No, I'm buying into this, because it makes sense to me. Because why would the airlines, the TSA is going to have all this bull crap about, oh, you got to sit down for an hour and show your hands, you know, before the plane lands, which means any 2-hour flight, you could just be sitting all the time and crapping in your own pants, apparently.
Yeah.
Peeing yourself.
Yeah.
And the airlines have decided to make it, oh, well, that's not even bad enough. Let's kill the in-flight entertainment. Let's make people, you know, they can't bring on two pieces of luggage anymore. They can't put anything under the seat in front of them. They can't open a laptop. You know, let's just make it as miserable as possible, which would lead into, well, I guess we can relax all those standards now that we have air marshals on board.
And every other business that I can think of, this is actually a point that Congressman Ron Paul makes. Every other business is responsible for security. Trains responsible for their own security. Buses responsible for their own security. Bridges responsible for their own security. Buildings in Manhattan responsible for their own security. Airlines not responsible for their security. Ah, okay. Why? Because if they actually had to pay for that, they'd all go out of business tomorrow. It's $75 billion we spend on security. A majority of it in aviation. So these guys are loving it. They're totally loving it. They don't give a crap. And believe me, the airlines don't care about you. You're cattle anyway. Why do you think we call it cattle class? Because you're a cow. So shut up, slave. Shut up. Don't eat. Sit down.
You do a good sheep.
And listen to the warden. Listen to the warden. The warden would tell you what to do. And the flight crew, you probably saw this article from Wired about these bloggers who minutes after the TSA released a new directive, to airlines, you know, it's not like secret information. But of course not intended for the public. No, slave, shut up. You shouldn't be reading any of this good stuff. You need to look at the list from Good Morning America with Taylor Swift and Kanye West. They posted this and they got visits from the TSA. Did you read about this?
No, tell me. I didn't hear this story.
Oh my God. Let me just pull this up for you. There's two bloggers. One who's actually being, is employed by KLM here. It's, from a threat level on Wired. And they actually got a picture of the TSA guy at the guy's house. So two bloggers received home visits from TSA agents Tuesday after they published a new TSA directive that revises screening procedures and puts new restrictions on passengers in the wake of a recent bombing attempt by the so-called underwear bomber, which is wrong because he's called the crotch bomber. Special agents from the TSA's Office of Inspection interrogated two U.S. bloggers, one of them an established travel columnist, and served them with a civil subpoena demanding information on the anonymous source that provided the TSA document. These guys literally rolled up, they strong-armed them, they threatened them that, hey, we can make travel, hey, you're a travel writer, we're going to make your travel really difficult, my friend. You're not going to be able to fly anywhere if you don't tell us who gave you this document. The guy was home with his three kids, his wife works at night, and they're demanding access, and they had all the paperwork needed, they had subpoenas. They were ready to get warrants. They were going to wait right outside his house. They took the guy's laptop, his BlackBerry, his iPhone, made copies of his hard disk. This is like the brown shirts just showing up, or the Sicherheitspolizei. And in this directive, which, parts of it have already been made public by the airlines because they were sent to the airlines, the flight crew, i.e. the pilot and co-pilot, or first officer, are no longer allowed to tell you where they are. So, that fun little thing like, hey, folks, if you look out over the left-hand side, you can see the wonderful Rockies and, right down there, you see the snow tops. No more of that. In fact, I'm going to give you another one, John. We will be sitting in military-like aircraft with no windows in those parachute jump seats, right, with your back to the wall, like slaves on a slave ship. That's how we will fly, and I predict that within 5 years.
So I got a note from somebody mentioning that they're saying it's a security document, but it was sent to every airport and airline, says Stephen Frieseling, one of the bloggers. Yeah. It was sent to Islamabad, to Riyadh, to Nigeria. So they're looking for information about security documents sent to 10,000-plus people internationally.
Yeah, but these guys blog about it, and the TSA shows up on their doorstep. Where'd you get that from? Who sent you that? Because, of course, these guys are embarrassed because they've been screwing up. And by the way, why doesn't Napolitano resign? Why isn't she called to account? Why isn't anyone supposed to resign?
Nobody's been called to account for anything in the last 15 years. You know, they can screw up the economy, they can screw the public, they can do stuff that's illegal, and nobody ever gets called to account. Well, of course, one of the things based on our own suppositions is that she wouldn't. What was to be appointed for resigning? This is all going according to plan.
Have you heard of the Wanta Reagan Mitterrand Protocol?
No.
This New Year's Eve is scheduled the implementation of the Wanta-Reagan-Mitterrand protocols that would bring $6.2 trillion back to the U.S. Treasury, help eliminate the toxic derivatives parked in U.S. banks currently in zombie condition, and also put millions of Americans back to work on a national high-speed rail project at no expense to the U.S. taxpayer. And these are agreements from 1990. And I haven't read through them all, but there's links to it in the show notes at noagendashow.com. But apparently there's like some deal was put into place in Vienna in December of 1990. And all this money was supposed to come to the U.S. and was supposed to, I guess, money that we were owed.
I guess we're going to have to look into this one.
Yeah, I mean, it's just too much for me to get done.
I mean, you know, if we're going to terrorize people in the skies, there would be nothing more logical than putting
a high-speed rail, which makes total sense because what's being built right outside my door, John, is supposed to be the largest bus terminal. The Transbay Joint Power Authority claims that they will have a high-speed rail train coming in from Los Angeles right into the heart of San Francisco. This could be a scheme that is so much bigger than you and I realize. Could be so much bigger.
Well, you know, the Chinese have got a we know what high-speed rail is if you've been to Europe and taken the ICE or one of the TGVs or one of the great trains that they have there. They run fairly fast. They do about they hit 350 kilometers an hour. You know, typically they run around 250 kilometers an hour. And they get you around, but you know, Europe is kind of small compared to coast to coast here in the big US of A. But the fact is the Chinese have developed a high speed train ride from the airport to Beijing. I think it's Beijing or Shanghai. I think it's Shanghai, one of the two. I haven't taken it, so I don't know. But anyway, they have this high speed rail that goes something like 400 miles an hour.
Oh yeah, it's amazing.
It's a maglev of some sort. It's often it sits off the ground.
No friction. It's magic.
And people who have taken it say it's unbelievable how fast this thing travels.
Hey, and by the way, I'm not against it. I'm all for it. But you know, you don't have to like pretend to blow up planes and make travel horrible just to get us on these trains. Just build them already. If France or someone owes us money and we're supposed to build these things, pay up. Let's get it. So, you know, I don't know. I do have one other interesting lead that we should follow up on.
By the way, I want to, before you finish that one thought, I want to read something I got just a Skype.
Sure. Breaking news.
However, Leo Wanta, the Wanta thing, is a code name given a person by Ronald Reagan in April of 1988 who remains anonymous to this day. This anonymous person is not Emil Leonard Wanta.
Okay, anyway. So we need follow-up on this. We need to delve into this.
Yeah, something's up.
Do you recall the son of former British Prime Minister Margaret Thatcher, Mark Thatcher?
Yeah, the one who keeps got in trouble in Africa.
Right. So do you remember exactly what it was he got in trouble for?
He was trying to overthrow the government.
Right. So do you know who helped fund him buy that helicopter?
No.
Al-Haji Umar Muttalib, father of the alleged terror suspect, the crotch bomber. He was the former chairman of the Bank of Nigeria who helped fund various weapons projects tied to Mark Thatcher.
Oh, really? What a coincidence.
Coincidence? I think not!
At the same time, while we're all looking at the new balloon boy, crotch boy, we talked about this last week. The World Court is supposed to be indicting members of the Israeli government as well as members of Hamas for war crimes for that 22-day war in the Gaza Strip. So we need a little bit of confusion to cover all that up as well. There is stuff going on right now. It is coming at us so fast that it's even hard for us to keep up with it.
No, it's actually very difficult. We can only, you know, one of the things we can do, we target one or two stories a show, and there's probably 20 stories that could be tracked back. We do the best we can. We do a better job, I think, than the, most of the stuff I've been seeing and listening to that's on the television or even on the radio or even done by the talk show guys. As far as I'm concerned, I don't know anybody else that's coming close. Stories are fascinating, and they're complicated, and everything you see and hear, generally speaking, on the mainstream media is like fed to you for a purpose of, it's just a brainwashing trick.
That's exactly what it is. It's not a trick. It's a documented.
It's a technique.
It's a documented technique. Not a trick. It's very simple. So we want to do more of this in the new year, and boy, we're late with our pitch. John, we've been so, I mean, this has been so huge. There's so much surrounding this story, the timing of it, all of the geopolitical aspects of it, the internal war between the Obama administration and certainly the CIA and perhaps other intelligence. And by the way, I'm not saying the CIA is bad. You know, they're just pissed off, you know, and because they've always, look, we all know that all governments do nasty, crazy shit. We're no exception. We're not goody-goody two-shoes in all of this. But it would be nice if we could get to the bottom of a couple of these things. Like this whole Mark Thatcher thing is now freaking me out. This whole Reagan give us $6 trillion thing is like, you know, I need extra days to go and work on this.
So let's talk about some of our donors this week, and yes. I'm going to mention a few of them, get them their credits.
Yes.
I want to thank, by the way, everyone who even gives us like, you know, 10, 20. I got 99 cents this week from somebody.
And we appreciate that too.
It's the PayPal account. They're dumping it. You know, you dump your PayPal account, just give it to us. So if we have a number of $50 to $100 donors, and I'm going to just name them off. Derek Reiser of Maryville, Illinois. Peter Bevin of, oh. let me get back to Peter Bevin at the end. Here's one from New Zealand, and you're going to have to help me pronounce this one. This is a beauty. W-I-R-I-Y-A is the first name.
Hold on. Let me just write. I might as well write it down, otherwise I can't remember. W what?
I-R-I-Y-A.
Wow.
Which I would say
Wiria? Wiria?
Wiria, maybe. Yeah, Wiria.
Wiria?
And the last name is even better. Mm-hmm. V-A, and I didn't solicit anybody to help me pronounce this one, so we're going to just struggle. V-A-I-D-A-Y-A-N-U-W-A-T-T-I.
So okay, thank you so much for your donation. We really appreciate it.
New Zealand, thank you very much.
Vaidi Anuati?
I guess.
Vaidi Anuati, yeah.
Rick Delishny from... Oshawa, Ontario, and he wants us to plug Blush Wedding Films in Toronto. Blush Wedding Films in Toronto. And Philip Koster in Roosendaal, Netherlands.
Yes, perfect.
And then we have our... Alexander Dilger, who wants a shout out to Terry Johnson, and he's in Morgantown, West Virginia. Great state.
Hi, you know, I went to school right near Morgantown. Right, and we went to many Mountaineers games.
And then we had Jaap Buitendijk.
Buitendijk. Jaap Buitendijk, who was our executive producer for this episode.
And he's apparently in Naaldwijk.
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 There you go. Not that hard. Just
this is like every week. It's like, does anybody have a normal name?
Oh, like Dvorak. Dvorak. I mean, what kind of name is that? You're missing a vowel.
Or Adam Curry's. I mean, that's what I'm looking
you're
for.
You're missing a vowel.
Matthias Merkert from, he's in the Falls, Germany. He gave us 7864. Then we had Christian and Sarah Winter from Las Vegas that gave us 100. And our old buddy, of course, Stephen Pelsmakers,
yes,
from Zaandam. He gave us $199, and he's actually doing it. So, by the way, anyone out there that wants to be a knight, you can do the self-accounting, and when you get to 1,000.
Isn't Steven close to it? Isn't he pretty much?
I think he's about $400 bucks away.
Okay.
Ian Monroe, of course, one of our executive producers.
Ian, there you go again, saying Ian. It's Ian. Ian. Ian Monroe.
Ian. No, Ian.
Ian.
Yeah, $200. And Samuel Van der Plank. From Sharbeek. Brussels.
Where?
223. Richard Nichols gave us from Fairview, Oregon. There we go. Richard Nichols, Fairview, Oregon, $150. Okay, now here's the one. Pronounce this. This is Peter Bevan. He said he challenges us to pronounce L. Ready to write this down?
Yeah.
Llangy Felach. And as a warning, it's Welsh.
Okay, I would say Langefach. Langefach. Let's see. Here's something we could try.
It's pronounced Fangifelach.
Well, it's LL, you said.
Yeah, and it's pronounced, the LL is pronounced somewhere in between an F and a TH. The F is pronounced as a V.
Hold on. Ah, shit. I deleted it. Hold on a second. Let me try something here. So it's
It's on the internet. The pronunciation.
Well, it's Llangyfelach, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So here's what we'll do. Let's see how Apple pronounces it.
Oh, that should be funny.
Okay. Here we go.
Langy flag.
All right. Let's try it.
Langy flag.
Anyway, people out there, you can go to Dvorak.org/NA or check out our new, for people that are in Russia and the other places that they can't go to Dvorak.org, go to channeldvorak.com/NA and you'll have a donation page there. It's completely on a different server.
Is that going to be the new donation page? Is that going to be the new one that's also on Dvorak.org/NA?
This is done by Eric Mackey.
Yeah, I love the new donation page at channeldvorak.com/NA. I love it.
channeldvorak.com/NA or noagendashow.com. Go there or go to dvorak.org/NA. I'll probably keep the other ones separate. And give us some help, and we'll try to do more of this kind of research. And I think the stuff that we're digging up currently is some of the best stuff we've done for the last year. And I think half the stuff that we've talked about all year long doesn't show up on anybody's top 10 list or the mainstream media doesn't care about it.
They didn't have Madoff on the list. Hey, by the way, they finally did it with Madoff.
Yeah, I think they switched. A lot of people think they switched out Madoff.
Yeah, because they.
Well, look, guys, worth $50 billion. You're going to have to have an exit strategy. There's no way he didn't, before he admitted that he was a big fraud, set up shop to have some guy. So he went to a hospital facility for 10 days because of whatever. He was dizzy, is what the main thing was. And then 10 days later, he comes back.
Oh, I'm dizzy. Yeah, so they take him off to the sick bay, and then they bring back another dude. So he's out. He's in Paraguay by now. He's already on one of the Hunt Oil airplanes. He's on his way. Whoosh, up and away.
If somebody would track where his kids go over the next year or so, you'll figure out where he went.
Yeah.
Because they're obviously going to go visit dad once in a while. But, we have no proof of this, by the way.
No, but, you look at it, like we've been waiting for him to get a heart attack or something else to happen, because this is exactly what happened with Ken Lay from Enron. And we have no proof, but, is it really all that unbelievable? Are we really that crazy? You know what? Don't even answer that question, because I will answer it for you. According to examiner.com, U.S. military is liaising with extraterrestrial life, according to multiple independent sources. This is big, John. This is a huge article. Independent sources have claimed an ongoing set of face-to-face meetings between U.S. military officials and extraterrestrial life. The sources reveal that senior...
Did this run on April 1st?
No, this ran on December 28th. Another reason they needed the crotch bomber, because the news is getting out now.
So you're saying that there's aliens meeting with our government.
Yes.
Of course, they ran this over the Christmas holiday so nobody would notice. That's
yes.
what your theory
yes.
is.
So the sources reveal that senior U.S. Navy officers have played a leading role in an inter-services working group responsible for the meetings, and that different extraterrestrial groups are allegedly involved. One source claims that the contact involves extraterrestrial groups known as reptilians and a silicon-based life form dubbed the Conformers. Another source claims that the extraterrestrials are called Ebens from the Zeta Reticuli star system, but known colloquially as the Greys. A third source claims that human-looking extraterrestrials representing an association of star nations are liaising with military officials. And this article, which ran in the Examiner, is filled with amazing links, interviews, and it's all ex-military guys who are now 75, 80 years old, and they're just tired of keeping these lies in. They're just tired of it. And I predicted that the president will come out, and he's going to say, all right, you know, we might as well just tell you, because you're going to find out anyway. Yes, there is. We've been in touch with alien life forms, and we've got free energy, and of course, it won't be free. That'll be another red herring. Uh-oh, I hear them coming for me, John. You hear it? Yeah. this is a great article. It's really, really good. And there's tons of backup information. These are the type of guys who are coming out about this. All retired, of course. U.S. Navy, U.S. Marine Corps. Dennis Blair, Director of National Intelligence. James Jones, National Security Advisor. Charles Bolden, NASA Administrator. All these guys retired, and they're all, you know, moving up on 80, and they're like, you know, we just don't want to bullshit around anymore. It's true. Get on with it already. I mean, even Dennis Kucinich says it. So you know it's got to be true.
Oh, God. Well, he's one of them, I think.
Yeah, he might be, but that's okay. And he's related to, what's her name, the actress? Shirley MacLaine. She knows. She knows.
So I want to read a list of the, you know, we talked about the top 10 news stories from last year. There's going to be all these retrospectives. I want to read you a list of 25. It's going to take a minute. Mm-hmm. Of the top 10 or the top 25 censored stories. And a lot of these actually are stories that have been continued to be censored for the year after year.
Nice.
And what's cool about it is as you, there's probably out of the 25, there's about two stories you may have heard of. I'm going to start with 25. Bush's real problem with Elliot Spitzer. 24. Japan questions 9/11 and the global war on terror.
We talked about that one.
FDA complicit on pushing pharmaceutical drugs. Duh.
Really? There's gambling going on there?
CARE, C-A-R-E, rejects U.S. food aid. NATO considers first strike nuclear option. Know that? Marijuana arrests set new record.
Not
with
me.
Indigenous herders and small farmers fight livestock extinction. Cruelty and death in juvenile detention centers. I have a friend who's gone through that.
Tell me.
Well, this guy, well, it's a long story, but one of the guys who's a CEO in Silicon Valley, one of his kids got into a jam and ended up in one of these juvenile hall things, and they became, you know, kind of beaten the crap out just on a daily basis by these Mexican gangs that are running rampant. And it turns out that the whole operation is run by the mob, and it was just a horrible situation. He had to finally leave under some, it's just a tremendously bad story. Huh. I mean, it's just depressing. UN's empty declaration on indigenous rights.
Oh, yeah, we covered some of that.
Number 16, annual survey on trade union rights. Number 15, worldwide slavery.
Oh, what's that?
Worldwide slavery. Number 14, mainstream. Well, what do you think our prison system is?
Yeah.
Number 14, you arrest these marijuana smokers. Number 14, mainstreaming nuclear waste. Tracking the number 13, tracking billions of dollars lost in Iraq. We know about that.
Yeah, we track that.
Number 12, Bush profiteers collect billions from No Child Left Behind.
Oh, really? No kidding.
Number 11, El Salvador's water privatization and the global war on terror. Number 10, APA complicit in CIA torture. That story was actually covered pretty well.
Yeah, I think. And the water thing, we covered that extensively.
Yeah. Number 9, Iraq and Afghanistan vets testify.
Yes.
Number
we haven't talked about it, but I do have some of that. Yeah.
Number 8, executive orders can be changed secretly.
Great.
Number 7, Guest Workers Inc. Fraud and Human Trafficking. Number 6, the Hometown Terrorism Prevention Act. We have to look that one up.
I think we've talked about it briefly, but
The Homegrown Terrorism and Prevention Act.
Yeah, that's the whole MIAC thing. Yeah,
we've touched on it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Number 5, seizing war protesters' assets.
Cool.
Apparently, this was signed by Bush, and then I guess it's still in play. If you go to a war protest and have us carry a sign that says, "Oh, no more war, get out of Iraq," they can seize all your assets and break you. Well, I mean, what are you going to do? I mean, why is this stuff even in play? Why isn't anybody complaining about this?
Because there's fluoride and lithium in the water, because all docile.
If you complain about it, you're also subject to seizure.
Oh, yeah, no, you can't complain. That would be bad. There would be no complaining.
ILEA, the U.S. Restarting Dirty Wars in Latin America. Number 3, InfraGuard, the FBI deputizes business.
Yes, no, this is huge. Even my tax lawyer is even deputized.
Is he now?
Yeah, and they have a badge, and they've got all kinds of secret documents.
Badge?
Yeah, they got a badge. And
cool.
Cooler. And they get the secret documents, and they're the first ones if there's a chemical attack. There's all kinds of protocols. Oh yeah, this is huge. Not only that, but
a badge, man? I think it'd be great.
It'd be good. Clergy are also brought into the whole scheme.
I wonder if Father Ralph, one of our eventual knights, is going to get
there's tons of clergy who are on board with the program and who are actually preaching about how the New World Order is great and good, and this is well known.
One world government.
Yeah.
Security and Prosperity Partnership, militarized NAFTA.
Oh, I didn't know that one.
Is number 2. And number 1, over 1 million Iraqi deaths caused by U.S. occupation.
Oh, why would we even report on that? There is one other story that has that should be on that list, John.
There's a lot of stuff they don't have on that list, by the way.
Yeah, I'd say the fastest-selling book.
Atlas Shrugged. By Ayn Rand.
Yeah, you know what the joke about that is? Glenn Beck came out with it as an Atlas Shrugged nut.
That's kind of harsh. By the way,
Adam Curry, John Cena, read a brand new book for you, or do a little movie review, so you don't have to.
I'd like to recommend a book that was recommended by one of our producers, which I got on my Kindle for the iPod, and and this is not an easy thing to read a book on. And I've tried a couple, and I was like, okay, but I guess it's just the quality of the book. It's called Genius of the Beast by Howard L. Bloom. Have you heard of this book, John?
God, no.
Okay, do you know who Howard Bloom is?
I've heard of him.
Okay, Howard L. Bloom in the 80s had the biggest PR agency for the music business. And this is why this book is interesting. He's actually like a biologist, a scientist is his background, and he went into the PR field, really studying behavior. And Prince's Purple Rain movie would never have been released if it wasn't for this guy. I mean, he was responsible for many of the urban acts. This guy is a legend in the music business. And he has this, and you'll love this book because I think it's part of the book that you allegedly have written about your financial cycles. And he analyzes the cycles all the way down to our core, which is essentially bacteria. That we're like bacteria, and we go through these cycles of boom and bust, and we actually bring it upon ourselves. And he what I liked about it is he ran down all of the different big boom and busts and all the things that people were saying, which is very similar to what you and I even say now, but oh, it's the Federal Reserve, it's this and that. But it actually, what he says, his assertion is that it is something within our DNA that we have to go through this incredible downturn to reinvent ourselves, to come up with new fantastic ideas. And I guess desperation is necessity is the mother of invention. And about halfway through the book right now, and I think I'll take the time to put an Amazon link into the show notes. Fabulous book, particularly because he goes from the scientific stuff, right into some stories about when he was in the music business. He makes all these comparisons. And throughout the whole thing, it's really about this cycle. And he goes into the
I think we got the point.
The Kondratiev wave. Is that the Russian guy who had some theory?
Yeah, he's got some crazy wave.
Well, where's your book, man? I mean, at least he wrote a book.
So, so it says we're doing, it says that little ditty that you played talking about movie reviews. I can tell you, I went to see Avatar in 3D on the IMAX.
Yeah, but you talked about that on Horowitz's show, so I'm not interested.
Did I?
Yeah, because that's on the stream, man. No Agenda stream is kicking ass. I've got,
So let me just say a couple things I saved. Some things I saved.
You saved
Tom
the good
Hartman
bits.
Came out and said that this was the guy that we talked about last week. Reintroduced to our listeners, the left wing.
Oh right, Tom with an H, T-H-O-M.
Thom
Hartman.
So Thom Hartman, he comes out and says he saw Avatar, and he says it was the greatest movie he's ever seen in his entire life.
Really now.
Now, I want people to go see this movie just for the purpose of see what is wrong with this guy to say that.
Is it better than It's a Wonderful Life? I don't think so.
It's bland science fiction. It's a stock story. There's nothing really particularly interesting about it. It's got all the characters are cartoon characters. There's not a real person in it. I mean, I'm talking about in terms of the depth of the characterization. I mean, they got this army guy that can't be killed, and he's a tough guy, and he wants to kill everybody.
Blah, 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 blah. Right.
It's just ridiculous.
It's a hype. It's a big hype. They put a little drug in your water, like you have to go see stupid movies in 3D, which, by the way, will never take off. As long as you have to wear glasses, it'll never go mainstream. It will not.
It did it before. Does it all the time. Yeah. It comes and goes. It comes and goes. And the thing is, it wasn't even really 3D because he had depth of field shot. So how does that work? I mean, if it's real 3D, it should be no depth of field. Everything should be, you know, flat, so I can focus on what I want to focus on in the back or in the front. But he's got things in the back blurry.
What this is meant to do is to condition your brain to stay inside the third dimension and never raise up to the fifth. This is just more mind control. Don't go see this movie. It is bad for your mental health. Now, I'd like to.
Well, that's kind of a leap.
Yeah, but it's true. I'm reliably informed. Could I just mention two fantastic awards as we blow out 2009 into 2010? Financial Times, the newspaper formerly known as the only newspaper I would read. I'm no longer going to read it, as they now announce Lord Blankfein, CEO of Goldman Sachs, is the hero of 2009.
What?
Yeah. Hats off to the Financial Times for refusing to pander to lily-livered liberals. The pink paper has opined that its person of the year for 2009 is none other than Lloyd Blankfein, chief executive of the widely reviled Wall Street bank Goldman Sachs. He is a, quote, master of risk. And if you thought that was
bad... This is like making Hitler the man of the year.
Wasn't he on the cover of Time?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. If you thought that was interesting... CIO of the year, as named by Information Week, is our buddy Vivek Kundra.
Unbelievable.
Oh.
Yeah. You get that old. I'll try to put some clips together for either the next show or the show after that, that kind of summarize some of the stuff that we've been revealing on No Agenda.
Well, you were going to do a whole.
I did. You know, there's so much stuff that I had no idea how much work we actually put into this show.
It's a lot, isn't it?
It's astonishing. I mean, look at all these clips. You go, my God.
I'd like to mention something else that will happen at the stroke of midnight, which will be several hours from now in Gitmo Nation East. In Europe, the United States of Europe, the Codex Alimentarius will be implemented. I've been talking about this for 2 years on this program. John, you've usually gone, whatever. But this, of course, is all about genetically modified food. This is the Codex Alimentarius is Latin for food law, food regulations. Our food is, in Europe, our food is about to become completely regulated. So what you eat, what's in it, how it's made, will all be determined by the Ministry of Food. And keep your eye on this. Codex Alimentarius, I've read through it. It is amazing. Essentially, control over food. You cannot determine what you want to eat. What is organic will be determined by the Ministry of Food. and how it's made, who's allowed to make it, under what circumstances. Codex Alimentarius. Look out for that in 2010.
Well, you know, the thing is that you've got these people trying to impose a one world government. They're trying to essentially take away the U.S. sovereignty. I mean, this is not crazy speculation. I mean, they say they want to do this, and we just believe what they say,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So it's not like, you know, this is not the crackpot part of the show. This is just a simple reality.
When I say it, it is. But when you say it, then all of a sudden it's reality. So that's what makes this show so great.
So the point is that to do, you know, they know that, you know, they love to study the Chinese is the only, the Chinese government is the only one that has managed to actually supervise billions and billions of people, multiple billions of people.
Yeah, they've done a
good
job.
And they can barely do it. But they do it in whatever way methodology they use, and they've done it for a long time. And then the Indian government's the second biggest nation that has to be, you know, which is about 1 billion. That has to be somehow managed, and they're doing a pretty crappy job of it. So the one world government people know that they've got a real problem on their hands to manage this many people under one umbrella for the sole purposes of preventing future wars, which is not going to work, but they think it might. It's, you know, at least it's, they're taking a shot at it, and it also keeps them in power and whatever. There's all kinds of benefits to them.
Yeah, sure.
Doesn't help us, but so they want to get so the idea is to get the groundwork. In other words, let's put everything in place that needs to be in place ahead of taking over the world and putting in this one world government, and, you know, see if that, you know, we could, so we don't have to deal with all the kind of misery that we're going to have to deal with when we actually take over the place. Now, the thing is, this I would like to see how the French react to this Codex Alimentarius, because they don't buy into any of this crap about, you know, how to tell them how to do food. I mean, they've had enough trouble getting the cheesemakers to use plastic instead of wood for the goat cheese.
Yeah, well, you know what? It may be time to move to France. It may be a good place to be. You know, they are basically, France and Germany can run Europe because they've got all the people, they've got all the votes. So they're going to determine what they, you know what? They don't give a crap. The French are, and I'm going to make a blanket statement, but the French really still believe they rule the world. At least the elites in France do. They think, yeah, that, you know, that Napoleon, he screwed it up. You know, don't worry, we'll be back.
Well, the French are also, yeah, I agree with that. I think to some extent. And the thing about the French that you've noticed, that anyone who's followed the wine industry over the last few years will notice this. The French, you know, to implement this worldwide control of everybody, one of the things you've got to do is, and the Muslims know how to do this, is get people so they're not drinking alcohol. Because if they're drinking alcohol, then all of a sudden the weird thoughts come into their mind.
We get like ideas and shit.
They get
this
ideas.
Is not good.
And so the French, of all countries, have implemented all these draconian anti-drinking laws throughout the country. It's killing the wine industry. Everybody in, you know, Bordeaux and every places like that are moaning about it. The French aren't drinking as much because there's all these advertising. There's new laws, new campaigns. They're really strict with drunk driving. And then they're running all these ads, and they won't let the French companies advertise their products anymore in the way they used to. So you can't go, you know, you can't, they don't want people showing people drinking wine. So you have a country that's essentially based on wine drinking.
Well, let's look at history. What was the purpose of prohibition in the United States?
And it was done by the progressives, by the way. Let's never forget that.
Yeah.
It was the liberals who instituted prohibition in the United States.
So what was the concept behind it? Because we were getting wacky?
Yeah, too many people were drunk and causing trouble. Can't have that.
Let's see, the Brits. You can take away an Englishman's lunch. You can take away his family. You can take away his home. But man, if you're going to touch his alcohol, you are in for big trouble. This will not work. In Gitmo Nation Lowlands, starting now, as a matter of fact, and this came in through my aviation connections. There is a no-fly zone set up in a large portion of the Netherlands, or at least not below 1,000 feet, which is kind of interesting because the VFR rules, even though I don't think you can even fly VFR at night in the Netherlands, is 1,100 feet. So it gives you like no room. But you cannot fly below 1,000 feet because they will be launching and flying UAVs throughout the changeover from 2009 to 2010.
UAVs, you're talking about those drones?
Yeah, the unmanned aerial vehicle. These are the ones that are like 3 feet long that you launch by throwing it into the air. They're going to have cameras.
The little ones.
Yeah, cameras, infrared. So essentially the army is now operating in the skies over the Netherlands. And of course it's because they want to make sure that there's no illegal fireworks taking place or someone's doing something bad.
Oh, that's the reason.
Yeah, but they have about 700 of these things that they ordered. And they're all going to be flying around.
How valuable they are if one crashes by accident.
I would, if I had a rocket, I'd be targeting that fucker. I mean, I want to have one.
Yeah,
get me one of
cool.
those. Yeah, very cool.
Probably has a transmitter in it, so when you brought it down, they'd be right on it.
Something for your Dvorak Horowitz Unplugged show. Maybe you've even talked about it. I was listening to the stream. It's a good show, by the way. I was just kidding. I do like listening to you guys talk about that because there's a lot of common sense. You're kind of like fundamentalists. You're not technical analysts. A study was done by Georgia State. And if you really want to make money in the stock market, just follow what the U.S. senators are investing in. U.S. senators' stocks, on average, beat the market by 12.3% annually.
Yeah, that'd be a good website.
That's pretty huge. That's not bad. Do you think there's some insider information flowing back and forth?
No, there's no way.
The White House has granted a special ethics waiver. This is breaking news. To allow President Obama's top counterterrorism advisor conduct the review of the intelligence and screening breakdown that preceded the failed Christmas Day bombing of an American passenger jet over Detroit. Why does he need this? Well, Mr. Brennan is a former longtime CIA officer. He needed the ethics waiver because for more than 3 years prior to his current post, he was chief executive officer of the Analysis Corp, or TAC, an intelligence firm that provides services to the government. So they've got the shill on the inside. This is like the 9/11 commission. I'm going to bring this guy in. He'll write whatever we tell him to. He's paid. And what happened to transparency? And what happened to no no revolving doors and all that?
Shadow puppet theater
at work while we speak.
So I guess we have a cop. Some guy came or is floating around, or they got him locked up. Who has the XXDR version of TB, which is beyond hard to cure.
What does that mean? I have no idea what that is.
It's the extremely, see what the moniker is for it. Do-do-do-do-do. It's extremely, it's XXDR tuberculosis is so rare that only a handful of other people in the world are thought to have had it. It's beyond drug resistant. There's no, it's so-called extremely drug resistant. In other words, there's nothing that works on it and no combination of things. And they have to basically lock the kid up.
Huh.
And,
so that's it?
Various drips.
Game over?
Well, they worried sick. They said, now they say, well, now that we've got the one case in the United States, there's probably others and nobody. There's three kinds of TB that are drug resistant. There's the multi-drug resistant, which is the MDR, which is all over the prisons. And then there's the extensively drug resistant, which is XDR. And then there's XXDR, which means nothing can cure it. And you're basically toast if you get it.
You know, there's something that we didn't talk about, although it's been going on for maybe we did talk about it almost a year ago. During the whole swine flu scare, there was actually a number of people died in Gitmo Lowlands in the Netherlands from the Q fever, which apparently comes from goats. And the Dutch government, so this is big. I mean, I think more people died from Q fever than from swine flu in the Netherlands. And there was very little press on it. Of course, it's like farmers, who cares? And they have just killed 40,000 female pregnant goats.
Really?
Yeah, which, of course, the religious believe this is another sign of the apocalypse. But I thought that was like, you know, that's weird, man. Killing pregnant goats? That's kind of sick.
Q fever. Well, we have to follow up on that.
Yeah, I haven't done a good job myself. Tylenol recalled. I don't know if if you followed that. There was something bad.
Okay, well, since we're wrapping up with minor stories, we might as well do some humor.
Oh, okay.
At the end of the show, there's a and I have a clip there. Nice. And this, by the way, is if people are you know, they've heard the whole show, we've probably gotten through most of the topics, and they don't want to hear something that is essentially lewd. You can turn off.
Now is the time to close your ears.
Now is the time to close your ears. And this is tagged sports humor. Adam would like it.
Okay.
This is there's a franchise that turns out on cable. I thought these were separate shows, but they're not. Called Sports Soup, which is based on the soup, the guy soup. Showing different kinds of clips. And so this character who does Sports Soup clipped together a bunch of just little snippets from various sports figures that saying one thing or another to make it sound as dirty as possible, and it has to do with you can listen to it and see what you think.
Some of my favorite things about sports are the words and phrases that sound perfectly normal during the coverage of games but sound completely filthy when looped together. Please enjoy Out of Context.
Introduce you to Dick.
Ah, super.
He's popping a nice one.
I don't know who that spotter is. I'm gonna go up there and jerk him off.
Bobby was up on the table crawling around on the pool table with a shaft in his hand.
Actually, you're not allowed to have any AIDS on your hands or wrists or fingers.
Notice I'm gonna have to stroke it a lot harder than I normally stroke it.
How do you keep your confidence going when you're not stroking it?
Stroking hard to a finish.
Back off to a 3-1 lead now.
The entire team came on the ice.
He wanted to sit there and say, come in my face.
And it is a premium load.
Yes. Ah, that reminds me of the time Seahawk receiver Norm Butt was wide open.
Awkward. So that figure, they played this on cable TV. We could play it on our show.
That's funny. Yeah, I like that. That's a good concept. You could, and someone could probably do that with our show and and very easily.
I'm sure they could.
You don't even need more than one episode, and you could probably put something like that together. That would be very cool. All right, so we're wrapping up 2009. I guess it's almost compulsory to ask you, John, if you have any New Year's resolutions.
Yes.
Would you like to share them?
Yeah, I intend to triple the income of this show minimally.
Yeah.
And then also lose 20 pounds.
So I'm right there with you. At the top of my list is triple the income of this show. So that we can really concentrate on it. And I think they're now reporting in the Dutch press. Adam is it's so hard up that he has to eat his airplane.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Someone listened
to
the show.
Oh, no wonder we're getting so many Dutch sending us donations.
Well, and it's true.
You're selling the plane. I'm finding it depressing, personally.
I'm not, because I'm very excited. I'm very excited about what the new year will bring. I have a new show that I am working on that this will be video. This will not be related to No Agenda, but it will be something that I'm already having a lot of fun doing. But I also have a resolution to bring back the daily source code, which, of course, until we triple the income of this show, will not be daily. But it wasn't really daily.
Never
for
was
a long time.
Daily.
It was in the beginning. In the beginning it was. It was 5 days a week. So I vow to bring that back, and that's about all. Everything I think I'm pretty good on all the love and the health and everything else. I'm doing pretty good. Maybe smoke a little bit less. I got to think about that one. Are you celebrating at home?
We were going to do a party, but then we decided to do some other stuff instead. Yeah, we're going to go out, but we're going to be back for that. You know, the problem with nowadays, because of this, you know, again, you know, part of the, like we mentioned earlier in the show, you know, you don't want people to drink too much because it's destabilizes a worldwide government. It's gotten to be onerous, unless you have a driver, to go out on these holidays and actually have a drink, because they keep the thing, you two glasses of wine and you're over the limit.
Yeah, besides that, there's crazies on the road.
Well, I've never found it to be that problematic, but whatever the case is, it's you're just asking for trouble. So it's going to be pretty mild, but I do have some good champagne here, so I'm not too worried about it.
Yeah, we're going to go to the beach. Yeah, up towards Stinson Beach there.
Yeah.
And
are you going to be there at midnight?
Yeah, well, we're staying in some like cool spa hotel or something.
Oh, okay.
So yeah, we're going to be there at midnight. And did you know that there were two full moons this month, John?
Yes, blue moon.
Yeah. So is something special supposed to happen tonight? Or is it just going to be a full moon?
Well, it depends. You know, the blue moon thing is somewhat controversial because I've listened to different astrologists say that it's not a true blue moon because it crosses over past midnight. I don't know what the big deal is. It's like some sort of, you know, it happens on a New Year's once every 5,500 years or something like that. It's unlikely to happen again in our
lifetime. This is what Elvis sang about, blue moon over Hawaii.
No, that was Moon Over Hawaii, and Blue Moon was a separate
Blue Moon.
That's a doo-wop song from
it is. Yeah, from your era. And then I would like to play one last little piece of audio, one last little snippet, which is from the North Pole, where the Inuit elders are concerned. Have you heard about the Inuit elders being concerned, John?
No, I have not heard about anybody.
None of them.
Okay,
in the high Arctic at this time of year, the sun doesn't even break the horizon.
We will try to do our best to answer your questions.
Warm inside, University of Victoria scientist Ian Moreau and Zacharias Canuck have been using the internet to speak to the world and to tell us what elders across the high Arctic are saying about climate change.
They talk about their world was the way it was and how it is different now.
The elders are also wondering if something much bigger is going on.
What we're hearing is that it might not be the full story.
When they start saying our sun does not rise where it used to, it's something that we should be concerned about.
Elders they interviewed across the north all say the same thing. Their sky has changed. The sun seems higher than in years gone past, says Elder Joanna C. Karpik of Pengnertung. The heat of the sun gets hotter, sooner. The sun, the stars, and the moon are all changing, affecting the temperature of the sea, even the way the wind blows.
So they're literally seeing the sun.
It's changing, yeah. Yeah, yeah, this is objective. Spot.
No, wait, it's the Inuit elders.
Yeah, as interpreted by the CBC boneheads.
What, you think they don't speak Inuit?
I don't think they either speak Inuit. The story is concocted.
Well, no, but I don't think so, because there has been all kinds of shifts with the poles and the magnetic north and south swapping.
Yeah, no, the north, the magnetic field has been diminishing, so there could be some effect.
Yeah, so.
But I'm not buying anything that these guys, well, they all agree, all the science is in, and all the Inuit elders agree the sun's in a new spot.
Don't be a denier. The science is in.
All right, John, it's been a great year, and I like that your New Year's resolution has the same number one listing as mine does, and I hope that goes for everybody who listens to this program.
Yeah, we want to wish everybody a Happy New Year, by the way. Have fun tonight if you haven't had it already, because a lot of people like the Russians, by the way, in Russia. Again, go to channeldvorak.com/NA, and... the Russians have had theirs already, and I'm sure they had a good time, and there's going to be a long time before they keep the Russians from drinking that vodka.
Oh, yeah. And, of course, I don't know what of course. Other than I'm looking forward to to a great 2010.
And, of course.
Hey, we're going to be back on Sunday. It'll be the 3rd of January, a brand new year, and the same old two guys.
Yeah, nothing new. Bull crap by the media.
Yeah, well, I'm sure we'll be doing some investigative work during our days off. Coming to you from the Minimum Security Containment Cell Crackpot Command Center in San Francisco, California, Gitmo Nation West, I'm Adam Curry.
And from a guy who has to read newspapers from Africa to get American news accurately, I'm John C. Dvorak.
Happy New Year. We'll talk to you again on Sunday right here on No Agenda.